right.
And then I'll play a theme song. And then I'll explain the game for everyone else.
Okay.
Should I play your classic theme?
I think you should play your current theme.
Okay, fine.
We'll do the classic theme for another episode.
Somebody do it on the way out.
Yeah. Talk about two time. It seems like a book that would be awful in paperback, but also awful in hardback.
It's like the book that was made for ebook.
Really? Yeah.
I felt like my arms were tired reading it by the end, to be honest. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another show. We have guests for the first time in a long time. Introducing to the podcast world the new Mr. and Mrs. Ian.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you go by like the Mrs. Ian Dirk? Is that a thing?
That is a thing. That's a really old fashioned thing. I don't think I would. No.
Not your strong preference.
I think a couple of my coworkers called me Mr. Jen Coleman.
Hmm.
But.
How was that?
I was like, I'm fine with it.
Whatever they want to do.
Right. Oh.
Well, welcome and congratulations. You've been married for like a week?
Yes.
A week and a couple days.
Yeah, like 10 days or something.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, we have to do something before the game begins. Hold
okay.
on.
Okay.
Just talk for a second.
All right. So Peter has to go get something because we're trying to figure out what this whole shenanigans are.
Going to narrate.
Okay. He looks like he's pulling something out of the closet.
Actually,
he's presenting it to us. Oh, I think I know what he's presenting here. It looks record sized. Oh, yeah.
We have your copy of Hopeful Snowman. 300.
Wow. On vinyl.
With art by Poonmaster Flex.
It's got a. I think people have seen it, but I want to try to. I'm going to try to describe it, but really.
Yeah, go for it.
Poonmaster Flex's art cannot be captured. With words.
It's true. The majesty.
There is an orca swimming in lava, and it looks like the snowman is trying to jump a volcano using the orca's fin as a ramp.
Yeah. On a motorcycle.
This is like the best trials level ever made.
Yeah. I asked her to make something.
There's also a lightning bolt.
You know, I was like, can you make me something? And she's like, what kind of thing do you want? I was like, something metal. And she's like, I don't really know what that means. And I was like, okay. So we went through some albums.
Album covers.
Some
yeah.
like Megadeth, some Iron Maiden, and also Meatloaf.
Right.
I can see the influence.
The Meatloaf was probably the strong. I was like, you know, Meatloaf isn't the most metal guy, but I think he might have the most metal album. Or Dio.
Dio.
That was the other big
Dio
influence.
Dio probably would.
The back also has art on it. And the label inside.
ooh, this wow. is like this is the kind of thing where there's a helpful snowman face but with a skull inside of it. That seems like that would be really good merch. Like if you ever went the merch route.
Like a sticker or something.
Stickers or like a t-shirt.
Poonmaster Flex is pretty proud of this job.
That's a pretty good
So congratulations.
Thank
to the big
you.
Winner. I have a hard sided box that you can either take that home or I can ship it to you.
I'll take the hard sided box and I'll try to figure out a way to get it home
okay.
safe.
It should be good. Like that box is pretty sturdy, I think.
Yeah.
So it should be.
It's a shipping box, so it should be.
Yeah, that's how they got here.
Right.
So that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, today we're gonna play a newlywed game.
Dun, 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 dun,
I wish I had pulled up some game show music.
Dun, 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 dun. Even though The Price is Right.
I have a real affinity for like 1970s BBC game show music, I find to be quite strong and horrible.
That was all the sort of the game show music made with public money by Britain and the citizens of the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth.
Game show theme songs.
Does Number Wang have a theme song?
Number Wang?
Number Wang?
What is that?
It is I think it's a real.
It's Number Wang, all one word.
Actually, no, it's not a real game show. It was on a variety show by two British comedians called
Flight of the Conchords.
No. It was
the IT crowd.
It was by the two
The Office.
It was by the two comedians who made Peep Show.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah, those guys. They also had a variety show, and Newt Numberwang was one of the like recurring
Reginald Crumpet and Arnold Palmer Teapot.
Okay, it does have a quick theme, so here we go.
Okay. Play
it. It's pretty good.
Hello!
Oh my god. There's like a, I'll have to find it later. I always find it, and then I can't remember what it is again, because I think it's a game show, but then I think it's actually a sports show that was on the BBC like in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Has the most hilarious theme song ever. It's got like weird flute music and stuff. It's the polar opposite of like ESPN, you know, where it's like dun, yeah, dun, 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 dun.
It's like the sort of a march to war, and this is like, I'm going to skip to work today.
It sounds basically like if someone had to make a parody of a game, you know, and they're like, if they're gonna do number one.
They did like some kind of homophobic parody, like a Min on Film kind of thing.
Yeah, basically. All right. So here's how this is going to work. I have questions for both of you. Now, I found a few questions that these are questions that were actually on the Newlywed Game at one point or another.
Okay.
So I found some questions that I thought would be best from that. And then I have some Chuck Klosterman hypothetical questions.
Okay.
So once we run through these, we'll go to these.
Okay.
And whoever has the most points at the end of the game, which will be at like 6:20, 6:30-ish, because that's when we're leaving to go to trivia.
That's about an hour and 5 minutes at most for the podcast audience listening in the future.
Correct. So, and just to tell everyone at home, both players have like a pad of paper. So what it'll be is I'll ask Jen a question about Ian. Ian will write down his true answer, and then Jen will answer with what she thinks he's going to say. And if she's correct, then she'll get a point. And if she's not, then she won't get a point. Also, some questions are kind of like multiple choice, mm-hmm, true or false, or I'll have to come up with sort of a number range for them.
Okay.
And I haven't balanced the questions that way, so just be aware.
Okay. All right.
As things go on here, it's not all really thought out.
You have questions. Whether the questions are fair or not is up to the audience to decide.
Totally.
Aren't they? How could they be unfair?
I don't know.
Well, we'll have to see, won't we?
All right. So without further ado, let's play the Newlywed Game.
I like the giant grin that Peter has on his face as this is playing.
I really like theme songs. Okay.
Okay.
So this is going to be a question for Jen that you will score points on or not.
Okay.
And these are from the Newlywed Game, which would probably be apparent based on when you hear the possible answers.
Okay.
When you wake up in the morning, will Ian say you look more like Sophia Loren, Phyllis Diller, or Lassie? Now, I'm going to assume that this is 1970s Sophia Loren, Phyllis Diller, and 1970s Lassie.
Doesn't 1970s Lassie kind of look the same?
I think 1970s Lassie was alive.
Oh.
So a dead dog?
No, so a live dog, a lassie. Let's just assume all three of these at their peak. I don't really know what Phyllis Diller looked like when she wasn't old.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Anyway, will Ian say you look more like Sophia Loren, Phyllis Diller, or Lassie?
So I have to write this down.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm like thinking of the honest answer, but I'm not sure if you'd actually say the honest answer. Mm. But I know how I look in the morning.
This is part of the trick. This is part of the difficult part of the game, I think.
Okay.
I don't think you need to write it down. I think you just need to say it. I have to write it down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true. Mm-hmm. That's, as long as one person writes it down.
Right. Okay.
All right.
I'll go with... I'll go with Phyllis Diller.
Phyllis Diller was the answer. Ian said Phyllis Diller. So congratulations, you scored
ding,
a
ding,
point.
Ding.
Yeah,
I guess.
I need to get my bell.
Yeah, there's definitely like some eye crust in the morning.
I just don't think you look like a Sophia Loren.
You know,
she's weird looking. I'm sorry.
I don't. She's not weird looking, but like that's you know.
She has a weird looking face.
Who looks like that when they wake up in the morning? At least, if there are people, that's not me.
Mm.
Especially like if my hair hasn't been, you know. I was gonna go with Lassie because my hair, at least right now, is kind of.
I would try to whistle like the Lassie theme, but then I would make myself sad, so I don't do that in the morning.
Hang on. Poonmaster Flex is trying to locate my bell.
We have some technical difficulties.
In the meantime, I'll see if I can. Maybe I can pull up a soundboard with some sounds faster than she can do that. She doesn't like that.
Ding, ding, ding. I could be my own soundboard.
Bing, bing. Phyllis Diller, huh? You think Sophia Loren is weird looking?
I'm trying to like remember a picture of her. It's weird looking. Like, she's got a weird looking face.
Isn't there that like old school picture of her sitting next to like Marilyn Monroe and she's like giving her the stink eye?
I think that's somebody else.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whoever that is, though, is like a hero. Ooh, there's a game intro for American Gladiators.
Definitely used to watch American Gladiators.
Wait, used to watch American Gladiators?
Oh yeah, definitely. Totally.
Do you have a favorite gladiator?
No. I mean,
I did. Kind
of, like others, I do too.
Okay.
My favorite gladiator, and I copy this from others, is Siren because she was deaf.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, they've named the deaf gladiator Siren.
Oh, that's kind of. Well,
which seems so mean.
Now, with that, like,
maybe they're going with, like, you know, nice Greek lady siren, not.
Also, would being deaf, I mean, is that a. How does that affect your ability to American gladiate? Does it?
I mean, it might fill you with rage.
That's true.
I don't know. I don't know if there was any, like, need to hear sounds on the show.
I can't remember. I don't remember any noise.
Yeah, I don't think there was very much that was sort of sound based. It was all.
I guess you couldn't get pumped up by the theme. That would be a disadvantage. Oh, I do have this one.
Oh.
The old
portable soundboard.
Your portable soundboard.
Because everyone can hear it. Let's see. That's a good correct answer.
Oh, that's a good wrong answer.
Oh. Okay. So we've got our rant and then our money. I don't know how to stop this. Okay. All right. Now we'll go on to the next question. So now there should be one for question.
Wait, are we alternating or?
Yes.
Okay, so I have to write down this time.
Yeah. Okay. If Ian grew breasts overnight, keeping in mind this is from the actual show.
All right.
Would he prefer they were D's, double D's, or triple D's? Those being the only options. I swear to God, this is exactly from the Newlywed Game.
From the Newlywed Game. They probably assume that men didn't know much about breast sizes.
Well, I don't know. I mean...
Well, you got to write it down.
You should be an expert on something you like, right? I mean...
That's true.
Also, I mean, okay. You're growing breasts overnight. Might as well... Why not go for broke?
That's true.
Like, it's not like you have an option to have...
Wait, can you
modestly sized?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, if Ian grew breasts overnight, would he prefer they were D's, double D's, or triple D's?
And so I have to.
I don't know if we've really talked too much about like ideal.
Let's say
I spontaneously grew breasts. We didn't work this out before we got married, so I guess we have to work this out now on the air.
Jeez, you guys, this might have been a little premature. These are the things you're supposed to talk about.
I know.
I know, right? Should have gotten this out in premarital counseling.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely.
Okay.
All right. So I think I would probably go with regular D's, not double D's or triple D's. Because
single D's?
Single D's.
Ooh.
D.
Oh,
that
boy.
Is correct. So far, that's 1 point apiece.
All right.
I seem to remember mentioning, I don't know, one of those like weird porn stars ones who had like basketball boobs, and you didn't really seem into that.
So. Yeah, it's weird looking.
Yeah, there's a limit. All right.
Like Sophia Loren weird looking.
What will Ian say is the most unusual thing he's ever seen you put between two slices of bread?
A strange sandwich.
Yeah.
He'd seem to eat like a fair amount of foods, but probably not that many sandwiches. I probably try to stay away from sandwiches.
Stay away from sandwiches as a rule.
Well, like maybe an open-faced sandwich, but like 2 pieces of bread is like too much bread.
Oh, I see. I see. It's the bread.
Yeah.
The bread is the danger zone.
Okay, well, have you written it down, Ian?
He's got an answer. He's still working on.
Okay.
All right.
Let's answer something.
You ready?
Sure. there was that one place we went. I think chicken.
All right.
I went with
almond butter.
I was trying to think of something unusual, so I was like, well, because you don't eat that. You're right. You don't eat that many sandwiches. Yeah. So.
It's a pretty weird question, I thought. Like, as I was going through questions, because, you know, I found these databases of lots of questions from the game, and I watched lots of old clips of the game show, which was really weird, and also...
it's good to know you prepared.
I did.
I think there's probably a lot more men who put, like, you know, they happen to have something and just jam it between 2 pieces of bread.
Like, what is a slice of pizza? I put this inside of a sandwich.
I've got, like, a little bit of leftover pasta, but all the noodles are too small to try to eat it. So I'm just going to try to jam it between 2 pieces
of bread. Master Flex is giving me a look like...
Because yours is a hamburger patty.
Oh, yeah. I eat hamburgers between slices of bread.
I don't think that's that weird. I've done that, too.
I've done that, yeah.
Because I don't want to buy, like, hamburger buns, like, if I'm only going to have a few hamburgers.
We nearly split up over it. It was just a bridge too far. Okay. So that was a question for Ian. So, Ian, what will Jen name as one thing dogs can do better than people?
One thing dogs can do better than people. See, if it were birds, that'd be hard, because birds can do everything better than people.
Jen's
a bird person.
Except anything that involves hands.
Well, they have their beaks, and their claws are probably...
Yeah.
Okay.
They can grip lots of things.
They can, like, carry off small children.
That's true. Like an owl, like a big owl.
I had a dream last night that a large hawk had carried off a kitten that I was supposed to be watching and then took it to a hole and was trying to stuff it in a hole.
That's terrible.
And I chased it down.
That's terrible.
Because I was like, this hawk probably can't carry this very far. So I ran after it, and then I was trying to kick the bird.
You're trying to... I like that the hawk decided, you know what, I'm going to fly to a hole in the ground.
Yeah, I mean, as dreams go.
Yeah.
It was unusual that I could run down a bird.
You could run down a hawk. Well, it was carrying something, so
it was. It was like a pretty large kitten, too. It was not like a tiny baby kitten. I say kitten, but it's really just
like
a small
juvenile
cat.
Yeah. It's in that that stage between cat and kitten.
Yeah.
What do you think it's called? A catten?
Yeah.
Or something?
I do.
Yeah.
I don't think that, but I would accept it.
Okay, I have an answer.
So, something that dogs do better than people.
All right.
Something that dogs do better than people is lick their own genitals.
Bark.
What?
So that's going to be...
I mean, they do. It wasn't very creative.
See, here's something about the newlywed game. Sometimes both people can be correct, but it's not the right answer for the thing.
Ah.
Okay. So now this is one where, whose turn was it? I already forgot.
It's Jen. Yeah, you're asking Jen a question.
I'm asking Jen a question. Who will Ian say is his favorite character from the Bible?
Well, we have talked a little bit about it, but not... Not as a novel? Not in that kind of detail.
My money's on Han Solo.
Yeah, I've got an answer and a reason.
All right.
Has Ian written down?
I've written down my answer.
Okay, I'm going to say Job, because it's a good example of the, like, capricious Old Testament God.
All right.
And I think Ian finds that maybe more interesting than... loving New Testament God.
Seems reasonable. I like the right. reasoning. Okay, Ian. What? God.
Always got to go with the main character, right?
The protagonist.
Protagonist seems like a good default choice.
All right.
I mean.
Okay. God. That seems like the biggest answer for someone who's like knows nothing about the Bible would just be like, I don't know, God. Pretty sure he's in there.
I mean, he's in the whole thing too. He's in both parts.
That's true. Other people aren't because they are humans.
Yeah, it's like
he had to make them
human lifespan.
I wanted to pick Jesus, but it's kind of like Yoda, where he's only really in the last parts of it. That's actually true. Kind of in the middle part.
And then he just dies pretty quickly. Okay. So this is a question for Ian.
Okay.
Similar to the other question, if Jen grew a penis overnight, do you think she would prefer it were cut or uncut?
Ooh.
Also a question from the Newlywed Game.
Jen grows a penis overnight, and would she prefer it cut or uncut?
You should know the answer to this.
Oh, I think I have a pretty good answer for this. I think she would go
Okay, wait. Do I have to write it down?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
For just to make sure.
Just to make sure. Or wait.
That there's answer. No...
She wasn't sure about the answer.
No, I'm sure about the answer.
I think she would prefer a cut.
Cut.
Yeah.
It'd be a hygiene
I know
thing.
It's like barbaric or whatever, but you know.
You just don't want to have to clean it.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, does anyone want to?
Oh, wait, that was the wrong question. Okay.
Boom.
Jen, if Ian was a child, what would you take away to punish him if he misbehaved?
Oh,
if Ian were a child.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that it's stated in a hypothetical.
Yeah, not currently.
Well, there's like an obvious answer and a slightly less obvious answer here.
Okay. I'd like to hear both.
Okay. But I'll couch one as the actual answer that I'm going to submit and then the other one.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'll go with the obvious answer, video games.
Video games.
The slightly less obvious answer, which I'm not actually submitting, is climbing shoes.
Okay. So is it video games? Pizza.
All right. These were all possibilities.
I mean, these are all strong contenders.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough one. There's a lot of things that would hurt.
I guess it's a good thing you're not a child, because you're a child who can easily have...
I can have all the pizza and video games that I want.
Yeah. Well, and if you were misbehaving as a child, there are many things that could be taken from you. Okay. So this is a question for Ian. Mm-hmm. If Jen inherited $1,000, how much would she give you for personal spending?
Oh, so Jen inherits $1,000?
Yeah. Which I guess maybe at this time was a more significant amount of money, and also assumed that if you were, I guess, married, that you were sharing finances.
Right.
So let's just assume you have a $1,000 windfall.
Okay.
And it's sort of a Brewster's Million situation, but it's a Brewster's 1,000.
Okay. A Brewster's 1,000. So it's sort of like she has to spend all $1,000 somehow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like in a day. All and right. It can't be on anything practical.
And so she gives it to me because I'll spend it on pizza and video games immediately.
And new climbing shoes.
And new climbing shoes.
Just in case your old ones get taken away.
I'll have a spare set.
If it's like a Brewster's Millions situation, then, you know. I feel like there's an obvious answer, but
okay.
We'll see what he says. I've written down my answer.
And because it's $1,000... I think we can give it within a range here
like
$200. Does that seem fair?
$200 yeah. Up or down?
Yeah, okay. Either way.
All right. I was going to guess probably, about maybe if it's in a Brewster's Million situation, I'd say 500.
500?
Yeah, like if it were a regular windfall, it'd be less.
500. Oh, my goodness. Look at that.
Very egalitarian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like you kind of should both get a point for that, just because that's very nice of you to give him half. Exactly half.
Exactly.
I think we try to be pretty egalitarian about things, so...
Like, if it were... Like, if you had said it was just a regular windfall, like, or, like, a, if it was an inheritance for a relative, I would have guessed, like, 250.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was an option to save some, it would be less, but if we have to spend
like,
it...
Like, if
we
had to spend it, then it'd be, like, just get... Yeah, and well, plus a Brewster's Millions kind of thing, Brewster's Thousands. I mean, she would get more money if it's all spent, so it's sort of, like, in her interest to give it to the guy who's going to buy... $250 pair of climbing shoes for funsies.
Do you think Brewster's Millions would make a good, like, reality show?
I think it...
Today?
So...
It would, because, like, you'd have to find somebody who was a total idiot with money.
Yeah. And they only have 24 hours and no online shopping.
Mm-hmm. So, like...
All cash transactions.
Like... Okay, so I feel like the sort of less exciting version of that is Supermarket Sweep, mm-hmm. which is also a show that I used to love watching.
I used to like that, too. The part where they're running around.
The quiz part was super boring.
Yeah. Just the part where they're running around.
I mean, the part that I realized, like, the optimal strategy is you should go for diapers and baby formula.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's so expensive and so, like, baby formula is so small.
Yeah. The olive oil and meat.
Also good. Yeah. Or prescription drugs.
Yeah, I would just go to like the
drug section.
You know what they should have done? Because if they did this today, it'd be some tweaker going to where all the Sudafed and stuff and just filling his cart. And they'd be like, well, you didn't win. He's like, oh, damn. Well, I guess I'll take all my groceries.
I'll take all of my Sudafed. Why did I pick all the Sudafed?
Oh, so stupid.
Or the tweaker where it's nothing but Sudafed and Monster Energy drinks.
Yeah.
God.
Well, then, like, the modern show would be, so they go, they get the millions, and then the second part, you know, second half of the show, is they catch up with them, like, 6 months later.
Mm.
And they're like, so how did that, was it good? Was it bad? What do you think? Like, did you make good choices?
Somebody who tries the five-hour energy drink strategy, because those are small and worth a lot of money, so you could fill up a cart with that, but it would look like something we found on Reddit.
Yes. One of my favorite subreddits just rolled into the shop.
Okay.
It's like mechanics posting pictures of cars that people have brought in for, you know, service or whatever. We found one where the entire, like, footwell of the passenger area was filled with 5-hour energy empty bottles.
That's amazing. That makes me feel stupid because I had my car in the shop recently and I kind of, like, cleaned it out before I took it in.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now I feel dumb because I'm just like, well, if that's what they're dealing with, then who cares?
Right.
I think it's always a good idea to clean up your car before you. Because then it shows them, like, you care about it, so they'll care about it. If you don't care about it, they're like, why should I fucking care about it?
That's a good point. Yeah. That is a good point. Okay. Only have two more of these. I think this question is for Jen, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. This is, I think, the weirdest one from the old ones. If a man falls out of your boat, you yell, man overboard. If a woman falls out of your boat, what should you yell? I'm not entirely sure what this question was getting at. Like, the other ones, I felt like I understood. Okay, you know, the $1,000 question, right? It's right. Like, okay, well, that's just... Who's the money person in the relationship, right? Or like,
I mean, they're probably guessing if whether or not you would say man overboard anyway or woman overboard.
Yeah,
I feel like they're trying to get to some sort of like, you know, this was the '70s, right? So like, are you like into like women's liberation?
For the record, I think in the clip I saw the guy made a joke and said that he wouldn't say anything or something.
let her swim.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, well.
Figuring that hoop skirt's going to drag her down anyway, so.
Yeah.
So this is guessing what I would say if a lady fell over, a woman
this
fell
is,
over.
No, you're guessing what Ian would say.
Oh, what he would say,
yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
Right. Has Ian written down?
I don't think so, but he's going to now. It's kind of funny because Ian's writing his answers, but then he has to turn them and put them pretty close to my face because he has very small handwriting.
I'm trying to conserve paper on our little notepads.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Actually, wait, I'm changing my mind.
It's going to be like a version of this, I don't know, like Scandinavian, like neutral singular pronoun.
Zer down?
Yeah, Zer overboard.
Zer overboard.
Zer overboard?
I'll even accept if you've done some sort of like gender neutral pronoun of some kind. Mm. That would be okay.
Z is like what you say instead of like he or she, and I think Zer is what you say instead of him or her. So I guess it would be Z or Zer overboard.
It sounds like one of Jack Kirby's new gods is falling off a boat.
Zer.
Was that correct?
I was originally gonna say hoedown. But I realized the problem would be that all of a sudden people would start like breaking out fiddles and jugs rather than going to the rescue.
That's a damn good idea.
That would be true to your pun.
So I said woman
nature.
Down.
Woman down.
Oh, yeah. Really? Not Zer overboard?
No. Because people would be confused, like, what's a Zer? It hasn't penetrated far enough into the maritime culture.
Mm.
Or general culture.
This needs to get to the level of sailors because they're going to be carrying out this rescue.
All right.
That's true. Okay. I have my last question from these originals. Jen, what will Ian say is the longest time he has ever gone without doing the dishes?
So hopefully Ian doesn't mind me saying this has become like a thing as part of our like bringing our lives together and adjusting to each other's habits. Cleaning has become a
thing,
frequent subject of discussion, but you know, like Ian's been very good about like, you know, adjusting. So like, I think all in all, like positive review here.
Sure.
We have a preferred method of dishwashing that will probably come up in a later question.
If it was like emptying the bathroom trash can, the answer would be once a year.
Mm-hmm. Once it's compacted to where mashing it down has no effect.
But for dishes, longest ever gone without dishes. I'm going to say... Oh, wait, he has to write it or do I write it?
He'll write it.
Oh, okay.
And then you'll say...
I say it.
Yeah.
No, I wrote the last one.
Oh, you did?
Oh, I wrote woman down.
Okay.
Oh, right. Okay. So I have to write the actual like longest without doing dishes.
Boonmaster Flex and I had a similar situation, except it was reversed.
Right.
I was the cleanly, crazy person.
But I wasn't gross.
No, she wasn't gross. She wanted me to say she was gross.
The thing is, like, I'm not even that clean. Like, I would not call myself a clean person.
But. See, I'm a little overly tidy, perhaps. So then Poon Master Flex being average.
So this is a guess. A problem. I guess I don't actually know the answer, so this is a guess, but let's see.
And this is also an answer not counting something like, for example, when you didn't have dishes because you were in college or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There were dishes for you to do, and they did not get done.
There were dishes for me to do. I had the resources to do them, and then did not do them.
How
right.
close do I have to be? How close of an
Oh, yeah, let's
within
say...
Within how many days?
Well, that's a good question, because I wonder... I don't really know what the upper limit is here. But let's say if it was a month... Let's say within...
It depends on the unit that I guess, right? Like if I say 3 days and she says 2 weeks.
Well, we can do a little math and break down days into weeks.
We could do a percent, maybe.
I think so. Like maybe like 20%.
Okay. 20% margin of error.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, boy. I hope it's just the same answer because that'll make this easier.
Yeah.
All right. Ian, what is
Or maybe
the...
like we'll make one unit up or down. So like 1 day up or down, 1 week up or down.
I think 20%.
20%? Okay, all right, all right.
Because it's such a wide possible range.
Wide range.
Probably works out.
Right, well, I'm assuming that she said, like, I've done the dishes before, so it's not never.
Right.
So that eliminates that. I'm going to say 1 week.
1 week is the longest
really?
You've gone?
1 week is the longest? Okay,
honestly?
So that's the longest I've gone without doing any dishes.
Wait.
Not doing complete dishes.
Okay, like, I think we need to clarify, like...
What? I think doing the dishes means, like...
Oh, like, doing, there are no
there's
dishes.
There's a sink full of dishes. Like, if you wash one cup or something, that's not doing the dishes.
I'd say 3 weeks, then.
3 weeks?
Three weeks.
Okay. Oh my God.
Oh.
3 weeks exactly.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, congratulations on the first round here.
Dun, 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 dun.
For a score break, it's Gen 2, Yin 3. And I've written it so sloppily that I can't actually tell the
difference. How did you get one more than me?
Okay, I've got more right answers.
I'll have to consult the tape. Okay. So here's what I wanted to do.
All right.
I thought it'd be fun. I have these different cards with these hypothetical questions.
Okay.
And the titles of them are on the back. So I thought that you guys could kind of pick them out and pick one out that you think you could answer for your partner based just on the title.
Okay.
But this doesn't really work if one or the other of you know them and the other one doesn't. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Could we eliminate the 10 minutes on the moon one?
Sure.
Because we both know the answer to the other
persons.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Out of curiosity.
Oh, moon.
Moon?
Not moon.
Not moon. Well, at least there's one other weirdo.
Who doesn't want to go to the moon?
Me.
Almost everybody that I've ever spoken to doesn't want to go to the moon.
Psychos. All
right. So we're going to start with this one. And I think this question will be, I will ask Jen what she thinks Ian's answer will be.
Okay.
You're a little behind, so we'll start with you.
All right.
Is this like the double point round?
Yes.
Awesome.
Oh, you want to get double or nothing. All right.
So then this is called Shaquille in the Shower.
Oh.
Ian.
Getting steamy.
You come home from an afternoon of shopping, expecting your residence to be empty. However, upon entering your front door, you immediately sense that something is strange. The entire place smells like marijuana and roses. There's a briefcase sitting in the middle of your living room floor filled with diamonds and Christmas cookies. You can hear the shower running, and when you open the door to the bathroom, you realize that the man using the shower is basketball legend Shaquille O'Neal. A naked Shaq peers at you from behind the shower curtain and smiles enthusiastically but says nothing. He then returns to washing himself. When you ask O'Neal what he is doing in your home, he simply says, "I don't remember." The question, do you call the police? So then it's up to Jen to predict whether or not Ian would call the police.
I have my answer, so I guess he has to write his down.
Yes.
Okay, have you written it, Ian?
He's working on it here. Okay.
All right. I feel like one area in which we're kind of similar is that we're both relatively risk averse. So yes, call the police.
Seems pretty reasonable.
I actually said no.
Really?
Because I would try to call like an ambulance or like a friend for Shaq because maybe he's in distress, but he may not have done anything wrong.
You're afraid the police are going to overreact.
Right.
I see.
Like right. They might just be like, he might just be like, I don't know how I got here.
So you call
just
someone.
Someone.
All right.
We could be dealing with like an O.J. Simpson situation. Well, except for no one.
Like maybe.
There's people who think he didn't do whatever.
Right.
Like. No one actually believes that.
Yeah,
I might have to get,
so nothing like an OJ situation.
I feel like I would like hang on to most of the Christmas cookies because I could eat those. Get rid of a lot of the weed, and almost all of the diamonds. Just like throw them all in a dumpster somewhere, just to be like get them out of my apartment. So that way, if somebody comes back later, be like, I don't have
any
of this stuff.
Now, see, here's what's weird about your answer, though.
Because
you wouldn't call the police, but you're all of a sudden taking it upon yourself to like dispose of all this. Stuff that you don't know, you had nothing to do with. You know what I mean? That like that.
I don't know
no
that I would want it hanging out in my apartment. Is the thing?
Okay.
I guess that's where calling the police comes in handy because it's like you become not responsible for.
Yeah, but if you're like, I walked into this, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
If I call the cops and my apartment's full of weed, they're not going to be like, oh well.
I guess that's true.
You know, oh, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt, sir.
But it's also full of Shaquille O'Neal, which should not be.
I don't know. Okay.
You know, it's a tough one.
If it were not full of weed, I would probably just call. Maybe I'd call the cops, but the weed throws everything off.
I do feel like Shaquille O'Neal would appreciate that answer. You know what I mean? Because he'd be like, "Well, there's somebody."
Yeah,
it's still like his well-being is still being taken care of.
Yeah. Let's see. Let me find one here. All right. we go. Jen, you are inside a very peculiar rock club. For whatever the reason, the manager of this club demands that all his musical acts must take an extensive IQ test before he will allow them to perform. Tonight, there are two acts on the bill, and they coincidentally share the same band name, The Industry Standard. Both bands are alleged to be awesome. Sadly, you only have 1 hour to spend at the club due to another obligation, and the intermission between the two acts is very long, so you can't watch both. You ask the manager which version of The Industry Standard you should watch. I have no idea, he says, but I will tell you this. The first band had the highest test scores I've ever seen anywhere. Each member of the band is technically a genius. One guy scored higher than Marilyn Vo Savant. Conversely, the band playing second had some of the worst scores ever recorded. One member might actually be illiterate. However, I halfway suspect they were all drunk and mocking the entire process. I couldn't tell for sure. Your question is, which version of The Industry Standard do you decide to see?
Oh, this is easy.
The geniuses or the dum-dums? So, Ian, your job is to predict...
What Jen is going to see?
Yeah.
Oh, man, because I know what I would see right away. I would totally see the dum-dums.
Yeah, why?
I would absolutely see the dum-dums, because either it would wind up being spectacular, and then it'd be like, this is amazing, or it would be kind of a train wreck,
mm-hmm.
and then it would also be amazing in its own way.
Kind of a win-win.
Yeah. The geniuses have the most likelihood of being sort of, you know, actually good musicians that could carry me away in the spirit, but okay. I don't think that I've been to many concerts that are like that outside of a few where I already knew the band. And since I've never heard The Industry Standard before, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go with weird dum-dums.
Fair enough.
But Jen is probably going to go with the
wait.
Geniuses. Oh!
Oh, she went with the dum-dums. Hold on. Tell us about your choice.
I think my reasons actually would be... My reasoning would be pretty similar to Ian's reasoning. I guess if they were drunk and mocking the whole process, which they probably should be because that's a really dumb process, maybe they are pretty smart after all.
Right.
Ah, I see. The subversion of it.
Although I will say the savant comparison like gave me some hesitation because typically savant is used in the context of a musician.
Right.
So I was like, well, maybe they're really good. I don't know, but
yeah. What if they're really good at a musical style you really don't like?
I think we've talked about
this. Like if they were really good EDM musicians, I'd be like, I still don't care.
I think we've talked about this. Like I think all genres. Pretty much all genres deserve a chance. Like, if they're really good at the genre, then, like, it should be still good. The only exceptions are a couple of, like, I don't know, like, Icelandic death metal.
And you went throat singing?
I'm probably not gonna get on board with that. But some other death metal, maybe, just not, sure. You know.
Right. There's some melodic shit in there.
Not death metal, sorry, Icelandic black metal.
Okay.
Fair enough. Okay.
Chuck Klosterman would approve of your genre parsing of metal.
So then this is a question that Ian will answer, and Jen, you predict.
Jen just predicted, so it's the other way around.
No,
yeah,
you...
I wrote it down. He has to write it down.
I wrote it down. Yeah,
right. Okay. So this is Jen's scoring opportunity.
Yes.
So Ian is offered a strange job by a New York-based company. Every morning at 6 a.m., a car service will come to your home and drive you to JFK Airport, 40 minutes from your residence. You will then take an 8 a.m. business class flight to Los Angeles, arriving at roughly 11:30 a.m. You will be picked up at the airport, driven to a Burbank office, where you'll hand-deliver three innocuous but unfaxable documents to the corporation's president. You will then be driven straight back to LAX, where you will immediately catch a return flight to New York. Another car will pick you up at the New York airport at 9 p.m. and you return to your home in New York City. This is what you would do every day, 5 days a week. Wake up in New York, fly 5.5 hours to Los Angeles, then immediately fly back. You have to wear dress clothes, but your lunches can be expensed, and you would have no other responsibilities while flying. The pay would be a 10% increase from what you currently earn, but they would need a 3-year commitment. Would you take this job?
And so Ian's predicting whether or not I would take the job?
No, you're predicting whether or not Ian would take the job.
Oh. Like, are real life considerations, like, part of... You know, the calculus here. Or is it like, would you like to take the job?
I guess so, yeah. Like, I mean, what like real life considerations?
Well, I mean, he's doing a PhD, so like that.
Like, I have to drop that sort of thing.
Right.
I think so. I think that falls into the category.
So would he be willing to like stop his PhD for 3 years to take this job?
Probably. I mean, he would have a lot of time to do reading and classwork.
I guess that's true. You probably could work around it. Maybe.
Well, I don't want to give away what my answer would be, so I'm not helping this
out
at all.
Help me? All right.
But yes, I think it is like based on situational real life.
Like doing all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Wait, there's so I write question. It down or he writes it down?
I wrote it down already.
He wrote it down and you say, yeah.
Great. I'm going to say, so Ian has told me that it was actually his fantasy to do precisely this type of job. So I'm going to say yes, he would take it.
Okay.
Well, let's said no.
What? Whoa. You told me this.
Internationally, yes, but nationally, no.
Really?
And wait a minute.
Like, he described this job to me and said, like, this
oh, yeah,
be
like carrying
great.
A diplomatic pouch.
I wish like, that would like, be that was my job.
I wish that that was my job. But part of it is, like, you know, in this particular thing, because real life stuff counts, right?
Sure.
Given that I have a job now where or I'm about to have a job where I have the summers completely off.
Ah, okay.
10% pay raise minus 30% of my time off. Right. Like, it's not really worth it.
Okay. You
could have said, I'd have to be away from you, Jen.
And that too. So I really lose.
I'm just kidding.
I mean.
That was a tough one. So, okay.
But
you would do this job internationally, but not nationally? Like, why is that the...
Well, also, I had this when I didn't have, like, wasn't going to school, wasn't married, wasn't anything
else.
So, like, when I had no...
It was more appealing.
But it has an appeal, but I think, like, just when going from, you know, New York to Burbank...
Sure.
Plus, I don't really want to live in New York.
Okay, that's fair. Well, you know, I think this still does... This qualifies as a fantasy for me. I think it does for Poon Master Flex. Although, something weird about Poon Master Flex is she really likes flying in the airport and stuff. So, the things that probably most people would find disadvantageous, she would enjoy.
Would you do it if you didn't... Like, if you got the pre-check thing so you didn't have to go through security?
I think I would do it.
Like, you could just walk on through?
I think I would do this, the reason being that, you know, it's like, basically...
Your time is your own.
Yeah, you basically get your entire life back.
You could write.
I mean, you don't have to do anything that you don't want to other than just sort of be there with a document.
Right.
So it's like a long work day, but, I mean, also, like, okay, it ends up being like a 10 or 11-hour work day.
A lot of it's sitting, too.
Yeah, and my work days are 9 hours.
Yeah.
Minimum. So it's not really that different.
I think I have the odd perk of like having the summer off that would be tough to give up first. Like if it were 30% pay raise, then it trades out.
I would do it
in
a heartbeat.
So the calculus was slightly off here.
Right.
All right. So now this is Ian answering what he thinks Jen will say. Earth is about to be struck by a mammoth meteor. Though no one knows exactly what will happen, most scientists assume life on Earth will be totally altered and potentially eliminated. Everyone on the planet is freaking out. Suddenly, you, Jen, receive a bizarre email. The government demands that you must fly to Washington, D.C. immediately by order of the president. The email message includes a first-class plane ticket. Once you arrive at the airport, military police confiscate your cell phone and wordlessly transport you to a secret hangar that houses 10 massive space shuttles. You are escorted onto one of the ships. Not counting the crew, there are 24 equally confused people waiting on the ship. You recognize a few of these people instantly. Bill Gates, Prince, who I guess in this case
is still alive,
was not dead. It was a hoax. And Oprah Winfrey.
They had to preserve him just for this scenario.
When the individuals you don't recognize begin talking and interacting with one another, it becomes clear that all of them are brilliant scientists, consequential artists, or extremely wealthy political figures. The ship's captain informs all the passengers that the space shuttle will be leaving Earth in 12 hours. He does not say where it's going, although he does insist that anyone who wants to remain on Earth is free to stay behind. You are 90% certain you've been selected for this trip by mistake. Do you remain on board?
And so I have to guess what he's going to... Wait, no, he has to guess what I'm going to say, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm right. She's writing down the answer.
Do I have to write down my answer?
No, you write down your answer.
What you think I'm going to say, and then I'll say it after you write it.
Because this is your Ian scoring opportunity.
How's it? Don't I have to guess if she's writing it down?
I don't think it really matters who writes it down as long as one person writes it down.
Okay.
To be honest.
All right.
Do I have to write it down?
You don't have to write it down.
Okay.
Ian will write this one.
So, honest, sounds like Ian has written something. Honest answer, yes, I would stay on board. Like, that's not my fault that someone else made a mistake.
Oh, you would leave me behind?
Oh, he said no.
You'd leave me to die alone.
So not only
on the desolate,
well, I mean, I guess there's already like there's like you're already aware that this is like somehow part of my belief system, like on some level, right?
Mm-hmm.
So wait, what?
Okay, so I actually am a Christian. I have never told you or like you
podcast
know,
land,
right? Podcast land. Of course, you know. Obviously, I'm a bit unconventional in my choices and the things I like to do.
Send all your favorite posts from the atheist subreddit to helpfulsnowman and helpfulsnowman.com. Yeah, and I'll get forwarded to Jen.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's like hard to sort of square things, but, you know, part of that means like maybe we, if there is eternity, maybe we won't spend it together.
Yes,
I don't
because
know.
You will lie to get on this ship.
I'm not saying definitely not.
Whereas
I'm saying,
I will die
I'm
in the God-caused apocalypse.
I'm saying I don't know, so.
When you said this is part of your belief system, I thought it was going to be much weirder than that, that your
no.
belief system involved getting on a spaceship and, like, going into space.
She was going to be with Xenu.
All right, well.
I would have been like, surprised at that one, too.
That's odd that this hasn't come up before.
I'm glad that you thought it was much weirder because I feel a little bad for thinking what I think already. So
no, it's fine. Don't.
It's like it's better than you do.
Yes. I was prepared for much worse.
Something a lot more bizarre.
Yeah. Something that I'd be like, okay.
No, that makes sense. I would have changed my answer.
I mean, that's the thing about these questions, right? They're not good choices.
No.
They're tough choices. Okay. So this one, Ian will answer, Jen will write down, and it's Jen's scoring opportunity.
All right.
Defying all expectation, a group of Scottish marine biologists capture a live Loch Ness monster. In an almost unbelievable coincidence, a bear hunter in the Pacific Northwest shoots a Sasquatch in the thigh, thereby allowing zoologists to take the furry monster into captivity. These events happen on the same afternoon. That evening, the president announces that he may have thyroid cancer and will undergo a biopsy later that week. You are the front page editor of the New York Times. What do you run as the biggest story? So you've got three options. Sasquatch, Loch Ness, and president. Mm. Now, in the interest of fairness, because most of these are 50-50s, let's eliminate Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, so I have to either go with thyroid cancer
in the president or live capture of the Sasquatch.
Ooh. I think it makes sense to eliminate Loch Ness Monster as a choice just because like it's international.
Am I supposed to write?
Yeah. I'm chatting through my answer.
Wanted to turn it into a 50-50.
Right.
And okay. I feel two are cryptozoological.
Right.
And one is, you know,
well,
the president.
It seems like you'd almost always pick the Sasquatch over the Loch Ness Monster for the New York Times. Just because
right,
like, it's an America story.
Whatever,
yes,
yeah.
In Scotland.
Not as exciting.
I think I would, you know.
Am I supposed to have already written my answer down?
Well, it would help.
Well, that's why I was kind of like trying to stop the train.
Well, we definitely
You're
need...
like, no.
No, but
we're going on through.
It's between the Trump cancer and the Sasquatch.
No, just two.
Yeah,
it's between Trump and Sasquatch. Loch Ness Monster was eliminated.
Trump has cancer, possibly, or Sasquatch. Now, I will have another question for you as well.
Okay.
Not for points so much, but like whether or not this would be a different outcome if the president was like Barack Obama.
Hmm. I would say, since the president is Trump now, I would definitely pick the cancer one because I know what my readers want to read about, and they want to read
the president having cancer.
They want to read that.
I mean, you're probably not wrong.
I would sell a lot of copies there. I think I would probably still pick it if it were Barack Obama, but I would like think about the Sasquatch one a little bit longer.
Yeah, see, like, I think I'd feel bad doing that, but that's what I would want to do.
Right.
I would feel bad because I'd be like, oh, he's the president, he's Barack Obama, whatever. But I would still want to lead with Sasquatch because really I'd be like, 100 years from now, you know what I mean? Is anyone going to really care about presidential cancer? No. But they are going to care about Bigfoot.
See, that's kind of like the moon, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like if it's Trump, it's definitely, you know, that's the front page because my readers would want to read that.
So you're going with Trump cancer.
Trump cancer.
Mm. What? Sasquatch. Because you like weird.
I do like weird things, but I like money, too.
I see. So you were taking this as a question, basically, almost like you're in a job interview right now.
Right. I was taking this. I was a serious editor of the Times. Thinking about subscribers.
I guess I was thinking about it that way, too. But, like, you know, personal level, you like weird. I think you want to believe weird.
I would, like, campaign to the newsroom like Michael Keaton in Spotlight and be like, we're running the story.
All right.
More like Mark Ruffalo in the story, hard charging about it.
So now this is a question for Jen that Ian will write the answer to and have a scoring opportunity.
Okay.
Okay, Jen. Someone builds an optical portal that allows you to see a vision of your own life in the future. It's essentially a crystal ball that shows a randomly selected image of what your life will be like in 20 years. You can only see into this portal for 30 seconds. When you finally peer into the crystal, you see yourself in a living room 2 decades older than you are today. You are watching a Canadian football game, and you are extremely happy. You're wearing a Canadian Football League jersey, CFL. Your chair is surrounded by books and magazines that promote the CFL, and there are CFL pennants covering your walls. You are alone in the room, but you are gleefully muttering about historical moments in Canadian football history. It becomes clear that for some unknown reason, you have become obsessed with Canadian football. And this future is static and absolute. No matter what you do, this future will happen. The optical portal is never wrong. This destiny cannot be changed. The next day, you're flipping through television channels and randomly come across a preseason CFL game between the Toronto Argonauts and the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Knowing your inevitable future, do you now watch it?
Wait, so... Oh, I thought this was going to be like a darker question. Like, would you kill yourself or something?
Would you decide that like Canadian football fandom was so awful you would end your own life rather than
experience it?
But since it's inevitable,
that tells us how you feel about.
Well, what if this was an inevitable future? What if you were basically like, you know, you failed in the attempt and you were brain damaged, but that was all you could do?
I guess that's
You'd
true.
You'd still be a Canadian football
fan.
Yeah,
there's a possibility where I just go there through like natural causes, and a possibility where I've unsuccessfully attempted to kill myself and end up like, you know,
you end up either functionally quadriplegic or completely paralyzed.
Gosh.
Our mom was having a dispute. She works in a healthcare field, and she was having a dispute over the phone. Like someone had put on a chart. Functionally quadriplegic, and they were saying, well, that's not really our terminology, you have to say completely paralyzed. And she's like, well, what's the difference?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, so the choice is, do I just like plunge headlong into my future by watching this game, or do I resist it for as long as I can?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, you just, you're watching TV, you come across it, and you're like, well, I think you could look at it as, well, I guess I'll just go for it. Or you could look at it as like, well, this is where I'm headed, so I might as well. Or you could look at it as, you know,
no, I don't want to start
what's the
this
appeal here. Or yeah, you could be like,
I don't want to start
that.
This yet.
Right.
All right, I have my answer.
All right.
Does Ian have his answer?
Okay.
All right. Answer is, I'll watch the game. There's a part of me that's like really. I hate, like, anticipating something that's going to happen, especially, like, if I know it's going to happen, and especially if it's something bad and I know it's going to happen. Like, I hate that. Like, I'd rather just the bad things start happening than, like, think about it, then like, you know, my stomach's like in knots and stuff.
Sure.
So yeah, this strange, weird future, I'd probably just jump right into it.
Fair All enough. Right. Ian answered yes.
Oh. Actually, that's not quite my answer.
He said yes, eh? Boom. All right.
What was your reason?
Yeah, why would you say yes?
Why would I say yes
why
to
do
it?
You think I would say yes?
I would be suspicious if your reason was the same as hers, because that was a very in-depth reason for going for yes.
I think that, like, you're the kind of person that, you know, since you know it's inevitable, you're like, you know what? I'm just not going to fight it. I'm going to write it out. You're going to give it a shot because, you know, you did see the future of yourself and you did look pretty happy. I mean, you weren't miserable doing it. Like, your Canadian football fandom was not making you... You were, like, because the question says, like, you were enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not as if you were, like, heading toward a bleak future of awfulness. You were heading toward something that you're like, okay, you're having a good Sunday afternoon, Saturday morning, whatever
it is. That's scary, because, like, that's kind of how I think... I used to think, like, well, no, because I'd... Whatever, it'll be inevitable, so it'll happen when it happens.
Right.
But now I think about it, like, what if I really love it? And then I denied it for longer than I had to, so I didn't get into it as soon as I could have.
Yeah, like you're denying yourself something you really enjoyed.
All right.
Like when I waited to get married to you.
Aww.
Oh. Sarah. I don't know if there's any... Nope. Nope.
That was even better.
Okay. No. Not. Oh, okay. I got it. There we go.
There we go.
These don't really say what they are. I mean, some of them I'm like, well, yeah, shotgun is probably not.
What do you think that is?
Shotgun. I think it's a shotgun. Oh, okay.
Like a shotgun marriage.
Well, that's a good correct answer one, too.
Yeah.
Damn it. Okay.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
So then this is a question for Ian, and it's a Jen scoring opportunity.
Okay.
For whatever the reason, two unauthorized movies are made about your life. The first is an independently released documentary primarily comprised of interviews with people who know you and bootleg footage from your actual life. Critics are describing the documentary as, quote, brutally honest and relentlessly fair. Meanwhile, Columbia TriStar has produced a big-budget biopic of your life, casting major Hollywood stars as you and all of your acquaintances. Though the movie is based on actual events, screenwriters have taken some liberties with the facts. Critics are split on the artistic merits of this fictionalized account, but audiences love it. Which film would you be more interested in seeing?
So Jen's writing down whether or not I would see the big-budget biopic.
Yeah.
With some liberties, or the yeah. hard-hitting documentary about myself.
Yeah, that is...
It's about his life?
Yeah.
About my own life.
Brutally honest and relentlessly fair.
Now, we both agree, Peter, like in talking while Jen's thinking about her answer,
mm-hmm.
between the big-budget biopic and the brutally honest documentary,
mm-hmm.
that we would both prefer a film about my life. I'd still want the biopic, but starring, written, directed, and produced by Neil Breen.
That would be great. Yeah, that's like a third category that I don't think fits either.
Like, that's really what you'd want, but that's not one.
I mean,
of
that's
choices.
Really like it's not an. I know that's not an option, but I would
a
like
a film
the...
in which you live in the desert, which would be kind of accurate.
Yeah, that's true.
But you would be a super hacker who was some kind of former special forces who could possibly morph into a ghost or tiger,
right? With magic powers. Who knows all the secret government secrets?
Okay. The most secret.
The most secret government secrets.
Okay.
So I've written down my...
You've written down your answer?
Answer, yeah.
Okay. Ian, go ahead and tell us your answer and why.
I think I would go with the documentary about myself. First of all, I'd have a good list of people to get revenge against.
Okay. That would be convenient as part of the...
But I'd also like, if I were watching the biopic, I would wonder what parts they thought they were taking liberties with.
Yeah.
And so I'd be like, well, where do they think they're taking... Because I know my own life, but I'm like, well, where do they think they're exaggerating?
What do they think happened?
Right. And plus, I think I value honesty quite a bit, so I would probably go with the honest truth.
All right. And Jen has said...
Documentary.
The documentary.
Yeah.
That was almost too easy. That's a double score. I'll still take the points, but that was too easy. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. like a film. He teaches a film class.
That's true. I would definitely go with the big budget movies.
We would all go with the Neil Breen. That's
kind of the split the difference better answer. Because right. It's just, I would love to see him tackle a movie that is sort of like dealing with a real subject.
I would like to see him make a Holocaust movie.
Oh my God. Yeah, I would too.
Non sequitur. Am I hearing the neighbor?
Yes.
Playing some trumpet.
Wow. That is a trumpet player. It's pretty loud. Also, he doesn't seem to have, like, boundaries on, like, you know, it'll be 11:30 and he'll be practicing the trumpet. And I'm like,
It's one thing if you're, like, 3 Saturday afternoon, you're practicing your trumpet. You're like, all right.
It's still annoying as hell. Mm-hmm. Also, it's like you can get that little mute thing, you know, that little cone that goes in there and makes it quieter.
It helps, like, it makes your pitch a little higher. But, like, if you're just practicing scales all day like he's doing, it doesn't matter.
Right?
Oh. I was thinking you could just, like, leave one outside the door.
Well, or he could just go somewhere else. Oh, that's a good idea.
Like, all of a sudden, Poonmaster Flex got very excited about that idea.
She did. She hates him.
That might be a...
She knew someone else who lived in the building and lived, I think, closer to him and was very annoyed. She had neighbors who played, like, the cello or something. Or
clarinet and violin.
Clarinet and violin. Mm. And they were... It was nice, yeah. It was more pleasant, and also they didn't play at 11:30 at night or later, and also it wasn't as loud. And they were better.
It was like faint music coming through, faint, pleasant music.
It's like being in a Barnes & Noble.
Ah.
Okay. This one is for Jen and a scoring opportunity for Ian.
Yeah.
Here we go. Imagine your dream house, whatever that house may be. Think of all the details you'd like this home to possess, including furniture. Think of all the details, even furniture. you're suddenly given the opportunity to trade wherever you live now for this hypothetical home, and your mortgage will be whatever you currently pay now. The home will be in roughly the same location as your current residence. However, there's one odd caveat. This dream home is buried 2 miles underground. When you look out the windows, all you will see is dirt. In order to enter the residence, you'll have to take an elevator that travels down the 2-mile shaft at high speed. It's about a 5-minute trip. The elevator is comfortable, and there is a staff located above ground that provides 24/7 maintenance on the elevator. If something breaks or goes wrong with the elevator, you will be rescued immediately. Would you accept this underground dream home?
This is tough. for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
Has Ian written down his answer?
Oh, there's some
circling and scribbling going on. Okay.
I think he has.
I'll talk it through, and then maybe I'll decide in the process of talking it through. So Ian knows I like a lot of natural light.
Okay.
That would be an obvious problem with the 2-mile underground dream home. On the other hand, Ian knows I really like small spaces, like closets, or I think I hid inside a cupboard.
You hid inside one of your cupboards?
Recently.
Okay.
Getting into our married life for a second, one of the things Jen likes to do is play hide-and-seek spontaneously. So all of a sudden, we are playing hide-and-seek.
But you're not aware of
like,
this.
I'm not always... The first time we played this, I was unaware of what was happening. And I wasn't sure that this was before we married. I wasn't sure if she had left my apartment all of a sudden. Like, she just ran out.
Now, how long did it take before you started sort of being like, I don't think she's in here? And then, you know.
It was a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking around because I had a small studio apartment. I was like, there's not that many places to hide.
Right. There's not a ton of options.
No. Yeah. But she found a really good hiding spot. And now I'm aware, and I will say that in our game of hide and seek, she's much better at it.
Yeah.
I had a really good hiding spot under her bed.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
But I farted.
That was how I found him.
And she found me, walked out of the room because the fart smelled so bad, and then had to be like, I didn't know if you were in here, but then I smelled the fart.
So you didn't hear it. It was a...
Yeah, I just walked in there and I realized that he hadn't been in there that recently for like a fresh bad odor to be in there, so I realized he's under the bed.
Wow. It's a wrinkle in the game I hadn't expected.
Yeah, I don't want him to get the point, but I have to be honest. I think he knows I have to be honest. The natural lack of natural light would be like a deal breaker. So, no, I would not take the dream house.
Oh, I'd say you would take it for the underground water slide.
Oh, DM.
I guess that's my dream, so I was hoping you would go with my dream because I'm the selfish one in this marriage.
All right.
I would say, like, you have to die in the asteroid to be with me, and also you have to give up natural light for a water slide. So.
And give up my, I don't know, planet or something.
Right. Your planet where you get to hang out with Zombie Prince and Oprah Winfrey.
That's true. Okay, I think we have time for, like, one more question. So this is the game winning question, potentially.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are we tied?
It's pretty crazy. You're behind by one, but it's double score.
Oh.
So it's you would win if you get this correct.
Oh, man.
Okay.
All right, and this is a wedding marriage specific question.
Oh.
This is a question for Ian, and Jen will be writing and potentially scoring.
Okay.
Ian, it's the evening before your wedding.
Yeah.
Everything is going as planned. You are spending the afternoon with a few old friends, chatting casually about old times. Suddenly, your spouse-to-be bursts into the room, totally hysterical. Your spouse-to-be insists that she has just seen a vampire. When you ask what this means, she says, "I was looking out of the window of my hotel room, and I could see into the apartment building across the street. That's when I saw the vampire. I saw a man in a black cape bite a woman's neck and drink her blood. I know this sounds crazy, but I am that certain... Ooh, there's a typo. But I am certain that what I saw is real. Your prospective and sober spouse is in a state of panic and pleads with you to believe her story. You can tell that this is really, really important to her. Knowing the fragility of the situation and the intensity of the timing, do you tell your potential spouse that you do, in fact, completely believe that she saw a vampire across the street? All of your old friends and family are watching this conversation."
Wait, so let me clarify.
Yes.
Before I start writing. So the option is say that he believes I saw a vampire or not.
Yeah.
Say that. Say something else.
I guess anything else other than
I believe you.
Yeah. In this public
scenario.
Situation.
Public-ish situation. In front of everybody. That would
be in front of everyone.
You and Poonmaster Flex. Our family members.
Yeah.
Possibly Sicily.
Sure. Yeah.
Because we found a hotel that takes cats.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would assume Sicily would dress well for our wedding.
She's always dressed well.
I mean, she can't wear a white veil because that's wrong.
She can't wear hats anywhere.
She can't wear a hat.
Not a white unicorn horn. That's the only one she has.
I think I would say, you've written down your answer?
I've written down my answer.
All right.
I would say, yes, I believe you. No!
Oh, the answer was no.
Oh.
Oh, my God. You don't think Ian would say, I believe you?
No.
Now, is that because you think it's a crazy thing to say, for lack of a better term? Or why do you think he wouldn't? What do you think he would say?
I think Ian could probably, you know, I mean, he's the...
I would believe that you believe you saw a vampire.
Okay. I could see you saying that, and right. I do think that is different than saying,
yeah,
I believe you.
Right.
I think saying, I believe that you believe that is basically saying, well, I don't think that happened, but I believe that that's what you perceived.
Right.
Okay, well, maybe I misunderstood the question. I could see Ian saying that, or like, oh, well, you know... Let's just go over there and see, like, maybe not responding to the truthfulness, but just saying, like, okay,
let's go knock on the vampire door.
Yeah, let's go check it out, or, you know.
Do you think he would, like, pick up a cross or, like, garlic or something first?
A handful of rice, some garlic,
Do you still have your garlic?
No, the garlic thing that had gotten, no,
the long garlic
strand? No, it didn't survive
the move. If there happened to be just a bulb of garlic... In, like, with your keys as you're heading out the door, do you think you would pick it up?
If I'm going to face potentially a vampire, I'm like, well, I'd feel really stupid if I didn't have it, and then I'd be dead. But, like, if I'm just walking around with, like, a bulb of garlic, people wouldn't think that was too weird.
I just don't see a situation where you like completely humor me because you can think of so many other things to say that might satisfy me, but would not actually be go so far as to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's totally what happened.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fair enough. Right. Well, final score tally. Jen had 4 points.
Ian Yay!
Had 5.
Yay!
Oh, well.
No, that's not what I wanted.
I'll accept it. I've been busted. You are better at games, so.
So congratulations. I mean, it was a very close match.
Right.
You're very closely matched.
Well, since I married Jen, I think I won twice.
Wow. <That's>... well, thank you both for playing. And, you know, we'd love to have you back sometime in the future for maybe the, like, mediumly time already wed game. Ooh, an anniversary round.
Good.
Now
like
we're
that.
Talking. And we can have the first prize. What is it, like wood or something? Tin?
Paper?
Paper, I think.
Paper. That should be easy. All right. Any final thing either of you want to say?
I love you, Jen.
Good game.
All right. We'll see you next time.